Matthew 27 and verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. The governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. God will bless the reading of his word. On the morning of the 14th of Nisan, the year 32 AD, a young man must have looked out from the window of the fortress of Antonio, and watched the dawn with a heavy heart. You say, why was that? Because Barabbas knew that this was the morning that he was to die. It wouldn't make very much difference that others would die with him, two others. Because dying is a very lonely business. And dying is a very ugly business. But he was going to die. He knew that the guard had been detailed. He knew that the apparatus was ready. Cross of wood was prepared. The nails were ready, and as the day dawned, he would be taken out and nailed to a cross and die. I want you to see Barabbas tonight, and I'm going to use him as an illustration, just an illustration, please, of the necessity, the reality and the simplicity of salvation. Now I underline illustration. I emphasize first the necessity of salvation because I'm going to draw you a picture. Here's a man in a cell. And you ask, is he righteously there? And immediately the witnesses can be called, and the charges can be gone over, and the conviction can be established, and his condemnation can be ensured. He, by every canon of Roman justice, he deserves to die. You may make whatever excuses you like, or explanations that you can offer. You can say this young man was well brought up. Maybe had a praying father and a mother who wept for her boy. We don't know. But he was brought up likely in a home where the scriptures were read. His background would tell you that. You might indicate that by character he was a bit wild, you know. You may trace his course as he stepped out and got into wrong companionship. And then his conduct began to deteriorate. And you can outline the charges that are made against him. He's a malefactor. He's a wrongdoer. He's a robber. In fact, he's a murderer. And there's just the position
and you would agree that every canon of civil justice demand that that man should die. He's been justly charged. He's been justly convicted. He's been justly condemned. There's nothing that awaits him but the execution of the sentence. Put him into the cell, slam closed the door. There's no future for the man. He's completely shut up. It's just a picture. But I tell you, soul, tonight, that's a picture of the sinner. That's a picture of the sinner in his character. Because there's something wrong with every one of us by nature. And the Bible tells us what it is. It's sin. That comes out in our conduct. And you can go back over the past and you can put your finger upon all the deeds and all the doings and all the disposition that has been shown. And you bow the head and say, a sinner before God. That's exactly how the scriptures describe us. That's our cause and our conduct and our character. But did you know this? That every sinner is condemned. Maybe that surprises you. Maybe you had some kind of a religious notion that at the last day, bad deeds would be weighed against good deeds. That if you put enough into meritorious works or penances or prayers, you could put the scale down on the positive side and you wouldn't be too bad. And God was gracious and he would put the added bit in and everything would be all right. Where did you get that notion? You didn't get it from the Bible. Because my Bible makes it clear that before God, every sinner is condemned. Every sinner stands under the sentence of death. And unless God in mercy steps in, I'm going to die, not only physically but eternally. And I'm going to be banished. For God is holy. Do you know what would happen? Every created intelligence in the universe would bow their head and say that God is just. God is right. The sinner deserves to die. Now listen, you can imagine somebody saying to Barabbas, Barabbas, I tell you what, we'll get you to sign the pledge. You'll change your behavior, won't you, Barabbas? I tell you, Barabbas, here's a handful of promises. You'll do better next time, won't you? Justice would scowl. Justice must frown and say it can't be done. The past stands. The penalty stands. The day dawns and Barabbas must go out to die. There he is. A man in the cell. That's the state of the sinner. Would you be honest tonight before God and accept that that's your state? Maybe you haven't understood it. I don't think you have. Because if you understood tonight your state and the sentence that awaits, do you know what keeps you from that sentence? Just one heartbeat, just one breath in the lung. If something happened, that was stopped. To pass out and to feel the very bite of the flame of a lost eternity. To know that you would be there throughout the eternal ages. Darkness and despair. My, tonight your state would grip your heart. And you would say, is there no hope for a sinner like me? Can you not tell me something that would bring hope into my darkened cell? I would like to know, is there deliverance for me? Now leave Barabbas there for a moment, please. That's the picture of the sinner. That's his state. It's in a cell. He's condemned already. But let me change the scene. Let me please take you to a cross. Now, this is totally independent of Barabbas. He doesn't even know about it. But here's a cross on that Passover morning. In fact, there are three crosses. But look at the center one. That's the one we are interested in. Who is that person there? And my, you would get an outline of his character. And it was so different from that of Barabbas. My, you would get an outline of his conduct. It was so distinct from that of Barabbas. You say there's no comparison. That's right. Because this one is without sin. And Scripture says he did no sin. You couldn't say that of Barabbas. But you say, now his conduct is different. His character is different. The whole course of his life, instead of bringing death and destruction as Barabbas did, he brought deliverance and delight. He touched the leper, the defilement was gone. He touched the blind man, the darkness was gone. He touched the lame and the disability was gone. He brought power into life's situation. But he did more. I want you to think of his preaching. I want you to think of the gracious words and the glorious invitations that he uttered. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's the laboring one. He said, come. Listen to what he said to the thirsty ones, the longing ones of John 7. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, he that believeth in me. The one who not only could save, but the one who could satisfy. And what did he say to the little one? He said, let the little ones come unto me. Here's the Savior who can meet every need of the human heart. We have mapped his pathway. We have looked at his person. We have seen and listened to a little of his preaching. We have evidenced a little of his power. But now we stand under the cross. And we say his pain. Why does he suffer? Why is there a crown of thorn upon his brow? Why are those nails through his hands and through his feet? Why is his back torn and bleeding? We need to go back to the Scripture to understand that this person is the Son of God. That made him different. That made him distinct. He's the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The one who could put his hand upon deity, he was God. Put his hand upon man, he was man. This is the person of whom we speak. Ah, but listen, we haven't touched yet. What purpose is behind it? And we listen to words like these. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. Now begin to understand. This is in the purpose of God. This is in the plan of eternity. That this Son, this Savior, this spotless one, that he should die on the cross. It's no mistake. It's no miscalculation. It's no misunderstanding. It's in the very passion and very plan of God Almighty that his Son should die on that cross of shame. But that only takes me another step into the mystery. The mystery of his person, wondrous truth, the Son of God. The mystery of his pain, wondrous truth, the sufferer who dies on that cross. But I want to know why. And again, I come to the Scriptures. And I read this. Christ died for the ungodly. And I understand that violent, vicious death was vicarious. He's doing it on behalf of others. He's stepping into a place that others earned. He is in that pain of Calvary's dark cross, making provision for guilty men of earth. That's the picture of the Savior. That's the one that we would like tonight to present to your heart. We want you to see this one, the suffering of the Savior. We want you to see just the pain that he bore. The darkness that closed in upon the scene. Then the awful cry of dereliction that came from Calvary when the Son of God said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Begin to understand that God was allowing punishment to fall upon the head of his Son. Is that not sufficient tonight to reach your heart when you wonder, is it for me? Is there enough for me? Is there sufficient to meet my need? The great work of Calvary is summed up in these words. One God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom on behalf of all. Corresponding price to meet the great need. There on Calvary's tree, he paid it down for all. It's sufficient. No doubt need arise. No difficulty may mount. There's enough in that matchless provision to meet the need of a word. Yea, if there had been a thousand words, enough to meet the need of the guiltiest sinner. He was an infinite person. He made an infinite provision. You dare not put a limitation upon that mighty provision that my Savior made in the depths and in the darkness. And in the depths of Calvary's dark cross, I want you to stop for a moment. There's how far God has gone. To reach the man in the cell. To deliver him. To bring him out. There's one who came, the Son. One who suffered. That's the substitute. That's the one who took the guilty sinner's place. But wait a moment. Barabbas doesn't know a thing about it. Not a thing. Picture of the sinner in the cell. Picture of the Savior in the cross. Now come back to the cell. Here's the tramp of the Roman guard. Here's the turning of the key in the lock. And can't you see Barabbas shrink back? Come. The time has come. I'm going to die. And then as that Roman officer would come in, look upon that shrinking soul, something surprising would happen. He would fling that cell door open. He would say, Barabbas, there's light outside. There's light outside. There's liberty outside. Barabbas would say, but what's that to me? And then the officer would say, but Abba, it's for you. But I didn't ask for it. No, Barabbas, you didn't ask for it. But I don't deserve it. But I don't deserve it. Of course, Barabbas, you deserve to die on a cross. Shame and suffering under sentence of law. But Barabbas would say, why?
Don't you think the officer would take him? He would point him through the window yonder. You say, Barabbas, how many crosses do you see? 3 crosses. But Barabbas, weren't you to be on the center one? Then Barabbas' eye would fall upon that figure, and into his ear would be whispered, he took your place. He died in your stead. He was judged. You may go free.
But Barabbas might say, but I haven't prayed enough for it. Wouldn't I need to pray? Listen, Barabbas, the judge passed the sentence. The sentence has been executed upon another. There's the door. You've only one thing to do. Believe it. Take the step. Barabbas would say, but no. That would be presumption. That's too big. Don't I have to make some promises? Do a wee bit of penance or show that I'm really deserving?
Look, Barabbas. Sentence fell on another. The door is open. You may stay in your darkness and need and die there. But if you take that step, you'll be into life and liberty, light. There'll not be a charge able to be led against you. Roman justice is satisfied. You can walk the streets of Jerusalem and hold your head high. They can't charge you again. It's just a picture of salvation. Listen, soul, tonight in the meeting. Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. His death satisfied God. You're the sinner. Would you be prepared to say, it satisfies me. He took my place. That's faith. Faith in accepting the message and trusting the word. Accepting what is told you. That's all that faith is. Giving God the credit for telling the truth. And that moment, the moment of salvation, is illustrated by Barabbas, head high, stepping through the door. You got that moment of salvation? Every soul on the way to heaven has got it. And do you think Barabbas would ever forget the moment he stepped out of the cell and the light of heaven fell upon him and the warmth of the sun warmed him? My, he would never forget. A soul that saved, understanding their sin, trusted the Savior, that moment of trust is written upon their heart. They'll never forget the moment they trusted Christ. Now, if you haven't got it, you'll forget it, all right. Now, have you got it or not? Can you go back to that moment, clear, unmistakable, when you understood that you were a sinner? You took in the truth. Christ died for sinners. He died for me. My soul is saved. My sin forgiven. My sentence gone. I'm free. Saved by God's wondrous grace. Oh, I didn't earn it. Certainly not. I couldn't. Barabbas was in the cell. He didn't deserve it. To be got what he deserved. To be lost for it. He didn't have to make any promises. Not a single one. God doesn't ask a soul to make promises. He knows we'd only break them. But he's made provision. For his satisfied justice. And now, the moment of justification is when I accept the message, step out of the cell, and salvation is mine, and I'm sure of heaven. Do you think Barabbas would ever fear that a hand would be put on his shoulder again. Taken back into the cell? Not at all. He would point and say, "Look, a man died there in my place. Justice is satisfied. I'm prepared to accept it. I'm saved. And I'm sure of God's salvation." I want to press upon your heart tonight the picture of the sinner is stained. The picture of the Savior and the sentence he bore. And the picture of salvation and the security it brings. I've told you every night, nearly. So I better tell you again tonight. It's 41 years on the 5th of August, 1946. Since as a boy, bowed in a little bedroom in the town of Lurgan in the north of Ireland, with a tear-stained but closed Bible before me, I had searched it until I couldn't find the verses for the team. Threw it down on the bed and said, "I'm never going to be saved. I'm lost." That was an honest thing. Maybe the first honest thing I told God. And isn't that the very kind of person that Jesus came to see? You say, what happened? A very simple thing. It was this. Into my heart there came a little light. Christ died. Oh, I knew that. But this is what I'd never taken in before. Christ died for me. Wasn't that simple? He took my place. And because he did, my sins are gone. My peace is made. I'm going to be in heaven. But you say, what's your security? What makes you sure? God said, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm one of that company. I'm sure. Because of what God has said. I'm saved. Because of what Christ has done. Now, would you trust him? Would you trust him tonight? And be saved on that very seat. May God bless his word.